The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
A Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media Station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready?
To wear, you think that you're better, well you better get ready, bow to the masters,
break it down. This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Canelo Alvarez, Gennady Golovkin 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to text the show, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is The Real. At Jon Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. And you know what? Go ahead and follow the producer, Nick, since he's out here with us. Having a great time in Las Vegas at the MGM. And so far, been a fun trip. But it's going to get really fun once the show ends tonight.
Oh, yeah.
This is where it gets cranked up. You missed the first hour. We talked a little bit of everything, including we haven't really had a chance to dive into the fight too much. By the way, I want to let people know RJ Bell will be joining us at 6 o'clock. He's moving to a new time. And I wonder if he's coming down here.
I don't think so.
That's too bad because we came out and did his podcast last night. How'd the rest of that go?
Oh, it went really well, I thought.
Of course, we were already here. It wasn't like.
Yeah.
it was pretty.
He led me to believe that it was good. He said that we did a good job. So
good, yeah, because I had to bail a little bit early, but that was fun.
Yeah, so, no doubt.
Blake wanted to know, is Yeldon worth picking up with Fournette out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you saw the Texans ran the ball against the Patriots. If he's available, I would grab him immediately. But, he did a boxing podcast. It was pretty cool. He had a bunch of people there. We were kind of rotating in and out. And I thought it was a good conversation. I enjoyed it to just go total boxing for once.
Yep.
And so I'm sure that podcast will be up on pregame. But he'll be joining us as usual at 6 o'clock instead of 5:30. So, and we'll probably start having guests around then when everybody gets back from the weigh-ins. We'll just have to see how it plays out. But, the fight tomorrow night, man. And I'm a little surprised. Golovkin is kind of turning into a pretty strong favorite.
Yeah.
Minus 135 was the last I saw.
Well, that's pushed to Canelo from last night because it was minus 150 last night. So,
minus 160 is what I'm seeing now on Golovkin.
Oh, wow.
Plus 135 on Canelo.
Yep.
And I think it was 150 and 125 when I was over at the sports book earlier, but I'm looking online now and seeing minus 160. So I think most people believe what we believe is that he won the first fight.
Yeah.
So, I know there's a couple. Is there any of the undercard fights you're interested in betting on? I know you're
probably not. Okay. No, I'll just. The more I've thought about it, if Golovkin were less of a favorite, I'd be willing to bet on him. Like, minus 160, I just don't feel like there's enough value there.
Yeah, if it keeps going, I still think Canelo's – I feel just as good about Canelo as I do Golovkin at this stage of their careers. That might be enough of a number for me. Wait, getting there.
That's a crazy number. Rushing yards per game without Fournette, about 21 yards more per game than with him. The Jags are undefeated without Fournette and 8-6 with him. So
That's interesting.
Not a.
That's not the impact you would expect.
Yeah, it's not the kind of thing you'd like to see when you're Leonard Fournette. Yeah. You realize, oh, I'm out this week, and then you're like watching TV, icing down your hammy, and you're like, oh, what? Really?
It's like ratings without AJ Hoffman, a point higher than they are when he's here.
Oh no.
That's not good. Nobody wants that. 713-780-3776. Trevor G, lifetime Bengals fan. 2-0 definitely means they win a playoff game this year.
Means they will?
Yes, which will be he calls winning a playoff game their Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, this is an interesting week because I think you'll see. You know, there was a lot of rust last week for a lot of teams, and every year in the NFL, there's something that completely surprises you from week one to week two.
Yeah.
Frankly, I'm surprised that a team that put up 47 last week struggled the way they did against the Bengals. Now, I know it's a short week and everything else.
And you were playing the Bills last week.
Which
unfortunately, I checked the Ravens' schedule. No more games with the Bills. There was just that one. And I know you got to give some of the other teams in the league a chance to play them. They're all excited, too.
Yeah, but I would just caution people that nobody's as bad as they looked the first week or as good as they looked the first week.
Except Buffalo. They are that bad.
I don't know. I think they'll get better. But last year, 5 weeks into the season, we thought the Chiefs were winning the Super Bowl.
You're what you just said, that nobody's as good and nobody's as bad as they looked the first week. That's the reason why I'm hesitant to bet on the Jets, even though the Jets,
yeah,
I like what I saw so much out of them last week, and I dislike the Dolphins. It seems like a spot where I'd be like, I got to go for it. But I remember what I've been telling myself all year, all last year, and then all off season was, this Jets team is just, it's so devoid of talent. And, you know, Sam Darnold's a good player, but is he that good? I can't imagine.
I don't know. At some point, they'll win games because of Sam Darnold. I don't think they're going to be there anytime soon. I mean,
I'm kind of with you.
And are they good enough to do what they did the other night? Now, we talk about this with RJ, the randomness of turnovers. And, you know, the Lions basically bleeped the bed.
Right.
And so I don't think that's going to happen again with the Dolphins. So, the obvious thing is, like, oh, wow, they just had a big Monday night performance that everybody saw, and your first thought is to punch that ticket. But the reality is a lot of these big Monday night performances turn into flat performances the week after. And, yeah, I just don't know. I need to see more. I need more data, as it were. We'll actually go through all the games here. We'll do it next segment. We usually do it at 5 o'clock, but – I'm thrown off by looking at 3:10 on my computer.
Yeah.
it's one of those things. But we'll do that next. We'll go through all the lines and talk about these games. And I've got a couple that I'm interested in playing, but mostly totals. I'm more interested in totals this week than I am actual sides. But we'll find something for the people to play if they're interested. And then sometime in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll talk about some college football too. So hopefully we'll hit everything that you might want to play this weekend.
Yep.
But although I think it'll be a little up in the air because I don't know who's going to be coming in and, you know, who we might be grabbing for interviews. I just have a sneaking suspicion that after 5:30 we're going to have a bunch, and it'll be a little rough to work them in because RJ, you know, RJ takes up a big chunk.
Yeah.
Starting at 6. So, did you see the end of the? Well, you didn't see the end of it, but did you read about the end of the Richmond game last night?
No.
2 touchdowns in 1.7 seconds.
What? How's that even happen?
So Richmond was trailing 27-23. It was moved up because of Hurricane Florence. They rush down the field. They score with 1.7 seconds left on the clock to take a 29-27 lead. And then they took a knee to avoid a block punt or blocked extra point that would have cost them the game, which you must not have a whole hell of a lot of faith in your kicker, but 29-27, Okay. Interesting tactic, but they take the knee. So they kick off, and they run.
Could they not go for two?
They could have, yeah, and put it out of reach, but apparently they didn't want to take a chance of throwing an interception that gets picked, and 2 points the other way you lose.
Okay.
So they kick off, fair catch at the 34 with the new rule. You can do that, so no time off the clock, right? Still 1.7. Final play, they went to the lateral thing. Yeah, fumble the ball. Dude picks it up, runs it 29 yards. Two touchdowns in 1.7 seconds. So I don't know how that would have affected any betting on that game. In that, I don't know how many people would be betting on a Richmond Spiders game.
Yeah, I don't either.
But not often that you see two touchdowns in 1.7 seconds off the clock. So, all right, 713-780-3776. We will go through the NFL lines when we return and see what we might be playing this weekend.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Gulfgate Dodge. That's right. If you are in the market for a new vehicle, Gulfgate's got you covered. Gulfgate time. The savings never stop out at Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. They're your savings headquarters Monday through Friday and every Sunday. During Ram's Power Days at Gulfgate, lease the all-new 2019 Ram Lone Star for only $394 a month. During Jeep Adventure Days, also going on, lease the all-new 2018 Jeep Wrangler JL for just $319 a month. They've got the largest Ram inventory in the loop, and they've got a new state-of-the-art service center that's now open with twice the size to service twice the vehicles by certified technicians. Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, 610 South Loop East and Gulf Freeway, and always online at gulfgatedodge.com. 2019 Ram Lone Star, 36-month lease, 10,000 annual miles, 1,000 due at signing. 2018 Jeep Wrangler JL, 36-month lease, 10,000 annual miles, zero due at signing. Tax, title, and registration. Additional, see dealer for details.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. And the weigh-in going on right now, we have it on TV. So Golovkin looks good. So does Canelo. I don't know how much tainted meat he's gotten into, but he looks pretty good. That's what weigh-ins are about.
They just popped something into his mouth.
And he almost fell down.
Steroids.
Oh, boy. He fell down.
He did fall down.
Wouldn't that be awful if he, like, turned an ankle or something?
Oh, man.
Well, actually, if he tried to fight, I'd go put some money on Golovkin.
Nobody feels good at weigh-in day. So
no.
I think he looks fine.
159.4 Canelo, 159.6 for Triple G. So.
Oh, yes.
So right there. Okay, let's go through the NFL lines, and we'll start with Colts Redskins at number -6. Shouldn't be much of an impact from the storm on that one. That's too many points for me. I really want to try to play the Colts at that number, but I like the way the Redskins look with Alex Smith at quarterback.
I think I'm on the Colts. I think especially now we're looking back and seeing, hey, maybe the Bengals weren't a bad team, you know, that the Colts played really close with.
I think a little shoving going on.
The Redskins, I don't know that we can, you know, like you said, not everybody's as good as they look in week one. Not everybody's bad as they look in week two. And that, to me, this is a buy low, sell high spot. Andrew Luck looked healthy, which I think is the most important thing that you could take from week one with the Colts. And if Andrew Luck's healthy, then I think the Colts getting 6 is way too big of a number.
Yeah, I am of the opinion that the Redskins offense might be better with Alex Smith than it was with Kirk Cousins. Not that I think he's... Thought I wouldn't rather have Kirk Cousins if I'm the Vikings.
Right.
But I can't play it. I'd like to take the Colts. I do think it was good for Andrew Luck to get a game under his belt.
Yeah.
So
and like I said, to look healthy.
Yeah. Falcons -6 at home against the Panthers. That number scares me a little too. I really, really want to take the Falcons here, but I don't feel like I can give up that many points. I think they bounce back. I think they score some points in the red zone this week, and I think they win the game. I just don't know if I can give up 6.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I think the Falcons win, but I'm not comfortable giving that many points, so it'll be a stay-away game for me.
Packers minus two at home against the Vikings. I know you've been on the Vikings all week. You haven't changed your mind?
Not one bit.
Yeah, me either. I'm with you on that.
And I assume, I mean, even if Aaron Rodgers plays, I don't think he's 100%. And it's one thing to do what he did to the Bears. The Vikings are stifling defensively.
And better offensively.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I think the Vikings are going to be able to score more points than the Bears did. Even though I like the Bears' offense moving forward, I think they're going to be pretty good. But, yeah, this Vikings team is no joke. And getting 2 points, even though it's at Lambeau, I'll take it. Bills, Chargers. Now, Chargers minus seven. It's down from 7.5.
Now is where I'd play it. I won't give a hook, but I'll play Chargers minus seven.
I think touchdown's a number. There's so many things that scare me about this. The West Coast to East Coast, the noon start. But the Bills,
man, they're horrible.
They showed nothing. And
and they're going to be starting a rookie quarterback.
A rookie quarterback that I think most of us would agree has a long way to go.
Yeah, that we'd looked at and said, you know what, maybe someday. But right now he's so raw that, yeah, I think it's not going to go well.
Texans minus three at Titan. That's up from 2.5. I still like the Texans here. I think just too many injuries on the Titan side of the ball. I think the Texans play better. The Texans defense is going to make life very tough on the Titans, especially if Mariota is hobbled, which I think he will be. And I think they'll get enough offense together against, you know, I've seen enough of the Mike Vrabel defense to know the Texans are going to score some points. I'll take the Texans here.
It's minus three now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pass for me. I don't know which Texans we'll see. I don't know what Titans we'll see. I tend to think that both of them are worse than people made them out to be to start the season. I'll let them decide who I trust more going forward.
Yeah, but somebody's O has got to go.
Somebody's O has got to go.
All right.
Unless they're like the Brown Steelers.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Which would make the Titans winners based on what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Steelers minus five against the Chiefs. I am really tempted to take the Chiefs here at plus five. I like the way they look. The Steelers, I think, are better than they showed at Cleveland last week. But I still think it's a pretty damn good Chiefs team.
I'm going to go with the Steelers on this. I don't know that it's a play for me, but if I were leaning, I'd take Steelers. Five's a lot of points, which is a little bit concerning. Yeah. But, you know, we talked about this before the season. Who are the teams in the AFC we can see winning the Super Bowl? And there were literally two. And the Steelers were one of them. So that's saying they're 2 points better than the Chiefs on a neutral site. Remember, Patrick Mahomes is still young. You know, this is a different test for him than what we saw last week.
Yeah, he's gonna face a lot of different looks. And being in Pittsburgh is going to be a lot tougher. I think this is a game where he may not play as well. But having said that, I still feel pretty good about that team. And I'm not really sure the Steelers are where they're going to be by midseason.
Yeah.
If that's fair. So,
well, it's a pass game for me, but
yeah, I'm not playing it yet, but if I go anywhere, it's going to be with the Chiefs. Dolphins getting three at the Jets. We talked about this a little bit earlier. The way they look Monday night, you want to play the Jets, but it's also the same reason I played against them in game one. It's a rookie quarterback.
Right.
I don't know what the Dolphins are yet. I don't think they're very good, but you know, they do have Tannehill back, and maybe they're an 8-8 type of team, and if they are, they should be able to go in and play the Jets within three. I'm going to pass on this, but my gut tells me the Jets should win this football game. We're only giving them the 3 points for home field. I think they're pretty close, but it is a rookie quarterback, and he could regress. So,
yep, it's a stay away for me for that.
Yeah,
for that reason,
for that very reason. Eagles minus three at Tampa. I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick is what we saw last week.
Agreed.
He's also going to be facing a much better defense, but they are at home. It's going to be swampy conditions. I think the number is probably right where it should be. I think the Eagles are a better football team. I still don't feel like they're the Eagles until they get Carson Wentz back.
Kind of the same way. It's a stay away for me, but I actually lean the Bucks to cover that.
Yeah,
if I had to choose a side.
If you're doing one of those things where you have to pick every game, I think I'd take the Bucks here.
Yeah,
to cover.
I'm not crazy about it. I mean, I think the Eagles just they've got better players than the Bucks.
Yeah.
And you know, if the Eagles can slow down Mike Evans, then we got to figure out what can the Bucks do then. The Bucks are gonna have to figure out a way to run the ball also to beat the Eagles. In my opinion.
Yeah, because you do know that Eagles defense is going to get pressure on Fitzpatrick. I mean, they do that to everybody. Browns plus 9.5 at the Saints of New Orleans. I'm more interested in the over 49 here. I've already played it.
Yeah, I tend to side with you. I could see the Browns hanging in with them, but after last week, I don't know that you can trust the Saints, you know, defensively.
Right.
And I don't – the Bucs are probably better than the Browns. I don't – if you asked me coming into the season, do I think the Bucs are way better than the Browns, I would have said no. But I don't think very highly of the Bucs, and they were able to score at will with a backup quarterback against the Saints. I thought the Saints were a contender this year because
their backup quarterback might be better than their starter, though.
Well, maybe. I don't know about that, but –
Well, Jameis Winston hasn't had too many games like that in his young career.
He's not.
That's for sure.
But I think that the Saints, I thought they were a contender because I thought they were so great on offense and they had a solid defense. And last year, their defense was really what carried them. If last week's any sign of what's to come, the Saints ain't going to win a whole lot of games.
I think they'll get the defense together, but I don't think it's this week.
Yeah, and you can't trust them to cover by 9.5.
No,
right now.
No. I can almost hear Stephen A. Smith screaming through the TV up there with Teddy Atlas. Yeah, so I'm not going to take the Saints to cover 9.5 points, but I will play that over and feel pretty good about it. Rams minus 13 against the Cardinals.
It's just too many points.
It is
I've got to stay
points.
Away.
It's the old double-digit division dog.
Yeah, I would not bet against the Rams here, but I can't bet on them either. It's too many points.
Yeah,
13 points. And I saw a crazy number. It like the Vegas power rankings. If the Rams, who are it's like the first time in 5 years or something that there's been a number one. Vegas number one rated power ranking team that wasn't the Patriots, and the Rams this week are the number one Vegas team.
Huh.
If they played the Bills neutral site, it would be an 18-point spread.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
I'd probably take the Rams.
I think I might.
I probably would. 49ers minus 6 against the Lions. That number has moved all the way from plus 4 early to minus 6. What I saw from the Lions Monday night, it's really hard for me to say this, but I kind of think I would take them to cover the 6. I do think they're not going to throw 5 interceptions again. 49ers are a better team than them, but you know, it's so hard after what you saw out of Matt Patricia and his group. They just looked unprepared.
Yeah,
and they kind of got their pants pulled down. And if it's going to come down to who has a better coach, well, that's pretty obvious to me. But I still have to give up 6 points, and so I'm probably staying away from this. But I've gone back and forth on this one all week.
What's the total?
Total's 49.
I'll go over 49. Okay. I think the Lions are better offensively than they were last week, but I think the numbers held a little bit this week because Garoppolo, the hype, maybe people were thinking he was going to come out and just be huge. It's hard to put up big numbers against a Vikings defense. So I think Jimmy Garoppolo gets right this week. I think Kyle Shanahan figures out the way to use him against this a much lesser defense. And I think you see a lot of points scored.
All right, Patriots now minus 1 against a Jaguars team that will not have Leonard Fournette.
I like the Patriots, or
a wide receiver.
I like the Patriots with or without Fournette. I'm on the Patriots here on the road.
I feel pretty good
better
about
team.
That too. Yeah. Raiders, Broncos, now 6.5. Broncos minus 6.5. I especially in Denver, I like the Broncos to win this, but that's probably too many points for me. I saw, and I still don't know how much I trust Case Keenum, and I know he had a great year last year, but he didn't look that great in the first game, and that's the Seahawks, but
we don't know what the Seahawks are either.
No, we don't, and the Raiders, for a half, they looked okay last week against a better team.
Yeah.
So I don't really, it's again, I'd probably want to take the 6.5 if I had to. But I think the Broncos win the football game.
Yeah, if I had to choose, I think I'd go with the Broncos here. I think it's a tough place to play early in the season. We talked about that a little bit with Colorado State and teams going to altitude early in the year. It's tough. And Denver's got a good record against the spread the first 2 weeks of the season for that reason when they're at home. So I like Denver. 6.5 is a lot of points. It's tough for me to give. But if I had to choose a side, Denver's the one.
Cowboys 3-point favorites at home against the New York Football Giants.
I think it's Cowboys.
It's the right number.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I'd lean the Cowboys.
I'll take the Cowboys just because I have a new rule. Never, ever again bet on the New York Giants.
That's not a bad rule to live by.
They burned me too many times. Plus, sometimes you're just out of sync with a team. Like when the Giants are playing well, I tend to discount them more, and when they're playing poorly, I tend to get more credit. So, yeah, and I think Dak has a good game here. I think the Cowboys bounce back, and I do think that Panthers team they played in Carolina is pretty damn good defensively, and I think you'll see a better effort out of the Cowboys this week. And finally, Monday night, Bears -3.5 at home against the Seahawks.
The hook keeps me off the Bears here. I kind of like the Bears, but I think I might have to take the Seahawks. If
it stays 3.5, yeah, I'm on the Seahawks.
Yeah.
If it were 2.5, I'd be on the Bears.
I think I'm there too.
Yeah, it's that number is – it's. And I think it's, again, a perfect line, which we see a lot out of Vegas these days. I mean, they know what they're doing. But, yeah, that's 3.5, I'm probably on Seahawks.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. That's your NFL lines for the week. So my real plays, playing the over in the Saints for sure. I think I might go over on that Lions game too. I think you may have me on that. I do like the Patriots to win.
I do too.
So I'll be on that one as well. All right. We're taking a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. We are live at the MGM Grand. I'm predicting that in about 10 minutes it's going to be nuts in here. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. Statues and empires
are all at your hands. Water to water. This is ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Canelo Alvarez, Gennady Golovkin 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz here at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, the David Copperfield Theater. And I think I was lied to because I was told at 3 o'clock every one of these was being used.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't appear to be the case.
No, because they were telling us they didn't have a place for us at first.
It's so crazy seeing all these pictures of people, like families, like on top of their cars and their houses in the Carolinas. I'll never understand why people don't heed evacuations. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and listen, a lot of the Harvey stuff, people had no clue that was going to happen.
No, because Harvey wasn't the kind of storm that typically would do the damage that it did. It was a slow moving storm, and the wind did almost no damage. It was so much rain,
but it caught some places that don't flood.
Yeah.
And you know, if you've been here for a long time, you would have thought, oh, I don't need to go anywhere. But they warned a lot of these people to leave, and I don't know,
I'll never get it.
Yeah, it's,
I mean, I get it's cool, like, you know, your stuff and your house, but it also sucks when you die.
Stuff can always be replaced. You can't.
I'm against dying, always.
You know, it's like the whole turn around, don't drown thing. If you die, you're done. We can't bring you back.
Yeah.
You know, until we figure out some way to do that, that's it. You're gone. If you
Dunzo, roasted.
Yeah, if your house.
See ya.
If your house gets flooded and messed up, guess what?
We can
rebuild.
Yep.
We can rebuild. And I just, yeah, it's one thing to get caught off guard, but they were telling all these people to get the hell out of there, and it's kind of hard for me to, I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
So, and seeing a lot of pictures it just brings back a lot of what we dealt with last year.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some of the flooding and, yeah, that was one fortunate thing about Harvey is we didn't have to deal with a lot of wind damage and things like that, because you throw that on top of the flooding, then it's just a mess. Oh, SportsCenter breaking news. Gennady Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez both make weight.
Oh, well, hey.
And we'll face off on Saturday.
Good news.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was never going to be an issue. Could be wrong about that. But, ATX Hobo Girl says, but I read today that the reason is evacuations equal privilege.
What do you mean?
I have no idea. I have no idea what she's referring to.
Like if you evacuate?
Only rich people evacuate?
Okay. I mean, I feel like if I were rich or poor, I still wouldn't want to die in a hurricane. Or end up like stranded on my roof where people can't come help me.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, that's not on my list of ways I want to die, because that's just one of those that if you can impact it, then you should, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, storm's coming. I'm gonna get out of here.
Yes.
Now, if something happens, and ironically, while you're trying to get away, a tornado comes and knocks a tree into your car and you die that way, oh, well.
That, you know, you
it's,
couldn't avoid
it's like
it.
Poker. You made the right decision.
Decision's not outcomes.
You got in with jacks against ace-nine. You should have been okay, and then, oh, you died. So, it says Port Arthur was never told to evacuate during Harvey, and 80% of the house is flooded. And
well, I'm not saying I'm not saying that they're always right, and maybe they should have. That's a different conversation, though.
Yeah.
It's a different conversation to say you should have been evacuated and you weren't, than you were told to evacuate and you don't. Those are two totally different things.
Yeah, I guess they're saying that you need money to leave. Well, okay.
I mean, I guess. You could sleep in your car, do something.
Yeah, I mean, I feel badly for anyone who's in that kind of financial position that they can't afford to leave an area that's about to get flooded. But, you know, and then maybe that's something where we need, as a society, to do a better job of getting buses down there. So, but I know they've done that in Galveston before. They've offered people opportunities to get on buses to evacuate. So I don't know. I'd need to read more about it. I don't, you know, I don't pretend to be an expert in evacuation. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you wish to text the show, we're out here at the MGM. We will be here up until 7 o'clock Houston time. And R.J. Bell will join us at 6. And, you know, from there, we'll see what happens. We'll see who shows up in here after the weigh-in, which nobody's really started pouring in yet.
And maybe they won't.
Yeah.
Mike Pearson's back. Our boy.
Yeah.
Mike Pearson.
Shout out to Mike Pearson. Houston, put those headphones on for a second. We get Mike on there. Well, you know, we got to go to break, don't we? Can we make Mike our gym of the day and come back and have Mike on for a minute? Why don't we do that? So we'll take a break now. And we come back, we're going to talk to our good friend Michael Pearson. Do we have anything here, John? Apparently not. Okay. All right. Very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Canelo Alvarez, Gennady Golovkin 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at the MGM Grand, David Copperfield Theater. And
you want to see a magic trick?
Well,
look under the table.
Yeah. What's under the table?
That was a perverted joke. It doesn't work when you're on the radio, I guess.
Didn't work at all.
Damn it.
But that's okay. Hey, guys, if you haven't had a chance to check out sportsmap.com, which is the greatest website ever, and a lot of nice
top five for sure
compliments on the text line the last few days over SportsMap. And, you know, what we try to do is give you good, fun stuff, a nice mix of videos, a nice mix of commentary, you know, a lot of opinion, but a lot of fun too. And so far so good. It's only going to get better here, hopefully next week when we get this migration done. But go check it out, sportsmap.com, or follow us on Twitter at sportsmaphou. And I've had the good fortune in my radio career to work with a lot of just really cool people. And you know, despite your poor attempts at a joke, I would include you and Nick in that conversation along with John. But one of my favorites has always been Michael Pearson. And he left us. He went to Los Angeles.
He betrayed us.
He did.
Not really.
He's all excited now about his Lakers.
Kind of.
Yeah, you did.
Why?
You abandoned us.
You turned your back on us.
Not true at all. Not true at all. That was my home in the first place. I was just,
you made a new home,
I was passing. Exactly.
You made a new home in Houston. You could have stuck with us.
Yep.
We accepted you.
Yes.
We didn't say, like, oh, Mike's cool, but we don't want to hang out with him because he's from California. No, we were like, Mike's one of us.
That's true. I became one of you guys.
You did.
Yep.
You were
he's still in my heart.
The best can of all of us, for sure.
The what?
The best hand of all of us.
I think so.
Yeah. He has more hair than all of us, too.
Probably so. Probably so.
Not saying much.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's good. It's fading away.
What's up with this mustache you got going?
That's the barber, man. Like, I usually go, like, Friday and Saturday.
Uh-huh.
But since it was fight week, I had to go early. So he tried to work with something that didn't really grow out. So it's a little thin. That's what's trying to – you're saying I look like a gay painter.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to ask where your beret and paintbrush were.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was going to ask.
Nothing wrong with gay painters.
No, man. Listen, if you're gay and you like painting, be a gay painter. But
he looks like a black Freddie Mercury.
You have to have that mustache if you do.
Let's hope it grows out by tomorrow night.
How's life out in L.A., man?
It's good, man. We have LeBron James. There's another team to contend with the Rockets now, I think. It's a little young on the Lakers' end. They got Kuzma over there. They got Ingram that they want to be, you know, LeBron's Pippen. So it's fun, man. The Rams are playing well.
Yeah. The Dodgers are still good. They're fighting to get back good.
They're fighting to get back good, exactly. They're fighting for that wild card right now. And out of all teams, the Rockies are leading the NL West. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm excited for this NBA season just because of LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Because we're about to see what one guy can really impact. And the Lakers were so horrible the last several years.
Yes.
This one guy is going to come in. And if he can – I don't think – you know, the team he's got right now in L.A. is worse than the team he had last year in Cleveland.
Some people are saying a little bit better as a combination.
I don't think so. Yeah, I just think they don't have the experience. They don't have Kevin Love. There's not like an established.
True, but how many times have we done this before the playoffs with LeBron? I don't know about this team. I don't know if he can go this far. And time after time after time, he proves us wrong.
Even if the Lakers are better, I think we can all agree they're still not on Warriors status.
No. No,
so everybody's basically fighting for that number two spot. Mm-hmm. And I do think LeBron is good enough to make a team fight for number two. He's clearly not good enough to beat the Warriors, but he's good enough to fight for number two. And if you're number two, you got a shot at him.
How do you see this Lakers team fighting against the Rockets?
I don't know. I mean,
in a seven-game series.
I don't like to bet against LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to bet on James Harden in key moments. I think that it's almost a thing where the Lakers have an advantage with that youth, because that youth means you're less likely to be injured and have key guys injured. And Chris Paul injured last year, you saw what they got. Mm-hmm. And when you go out and you pay Chris Paul, you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. You're getting a guy who's going to miss games. You just have to accept it. And I don't know if the Rockets without him.
People tend to just think about the results of the NBA Finals. The Rockets were right there, bro.
They were.
They were a healthy hamstring away from winning it all. But people tend to seem that the Warriors are that much better than the Rockets or anybody else. They're not. They went to a game seven.
Yeah.
So I think there's the Rockets.
The Rockets are good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But, like,
I just think the Warriors are better.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's not necessary. And to say the Rockets – or not as good as the Warriors, no one should take that as a knock, because I believe this Warriors team is historically great. So if that's the case, you're not better than them? Okay. Right. That's like being not as good as the Lakers in the 80s. Okay. Yeah. You can still be pretty good.
Yeah.
You're just maybe not better than the Lakers.
How's the ownership with Fatita now with the Rockets, Fred?
Well, it's, you know, he's conscious of the luxury tax, but I think he'll do whatever. I think he's a breath of fresh air too, because at the end there, I think Les had kind of gotten to where, you know, he wanted to win, but he was more interested in how much money can I make off this and go retire and load bimbos on my boat. And I think the one thing about Tillman is he's interesting. And he was a lot more quiet last year than I thought he would be. I think he kind of wanted to sit back and see how things develop. But I think he'll do a good job there. I think he'll spend money on the team, and he's done a really good job helping UH get its athletic stuff to where it needs to be. So I have faith that as an owner he'll be really good. I just don't know that they're going to be able to put a team together good enough in these first few years here.
Now, you can't bet Rockets at his casino in Vegas. Am I right? Is that the case?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I just heard something like there were bets before he took over, and I think he had to like cash out or something like that.
Yeah, I remember something about that. Yeah, you couldn't do it at the Nugget, I think.
Yeah, at the Nugget. Yeah, at the Nugget.
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen with this fight?
Man, I was going for Canelo before the first fight. I gave Canelo a slight advantage because I think he was a better boxer overall. I just thought his youth would really give him an opportunity to beat Triple G, but I think Canelo could have brought more. I'm worried about Canelo's stamina. I'm worried about his conditioning. That has been some talk recently too for this second fight. There's been a report.
Is he off the sauce? Is that why?
I'm not gonna say that. I wasn't talking about that. I hope not. After you know him being busted and you know this fight being canceled months ago. I just think that it's been reports that he's not been conditioning like people think he should. But that could just be false reports and really fooling people that want to bet against him. I still give them the advantage. Hopefully he comes in and says, I want to prove people wrong. He has that cheater stink on him right now. So I think he has to come in and prove people wrong. And hopefully he's in the condition to go all the way. Hopefully he wants to throw some blows against Triple G. Because I know one thing is Triple G is not able to do to Canelo what he's done to everybody else. And credit to Canelo on that.
Well, the reason why I lean Golovkin in this fight is because let's say it gets into a total firefight. I don't believe that Canelo can knock Golovkin out. Mm-hmm. I do believe Golovkin can knock Canelo out. Mm-hmm. So I just lean towards a guy who has that fight-ending power,
yep.
And that's Golovkin in this case. Canelo did a good job of not landing anything, of preventing from getting stuff landed too flush on him in the last fight. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to try to do that again, but it's hard to get away from it for 12 rounds. It's going to be even harder to get away from it for 24.
Yep.
When Golovkin touches you, it is fight-changing.
Yeah.
And everybody who's come before has said, it doesn't look that scary. And then they get hit by it, and suddenly they're like, whoa, what happened there? And it just changes the flow of a fight. All it takes is one big shot from Golovkin to change the entire fight, and I don't think Canelo has that one-punch power that can be fight-changing against a bigger guy like Golovkin.
Well, in the last fight, it kind of showed that. Like, Canelo was getting some good shots, but it didn't look like
he walked right through him.
Yeah.
He's like the Terminator.
Yeah, and after the fight, it was like Golovkin is like, what? This guy had a fight? You couldn't tell by his face.
No.
You know, he looked like he didn't have a fight at all.
It was boxing. Look at my face. I'm happy. It's a good night.
Mexican style.
It was a good night.
That's him.
Yeah, I that's the one thing that's always been underrated about Golovkin is how he takes a punch.
Hmm.
And there were fights early on when he was toying with guys where he would let himself get hit to let them know, you can't hurt me.
He lets people punch him in the forehead. He likes to do that and just say, come on. And he'll just take those punches off his forehead because he knows it's not going to hurt him. And then he comes back and fires it up, and he's trying to bait you into a firefight. And Canelo did a good job of not being baited into it. And Canelo's typically not a guy who wants to go backwards. This time he had to do it. The only other time he really had to do it was with Mayweather, because Mayweather was touching him up and Canelo didn't know what else to do except to run from it. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think it's coincidence that those are the two best fighters that Canelo's seen. No offense to some. I mean, I know like Shane Mosley, there's been some great fighters that he's seen. I'm talking about seen in their primes. I don't know that anyone would say Canelo fought Shane Mosley in his prime. But I just think that there's a different level of you know, what Canelo can take. And he wasn't able to handle the heat from Mayweather. I think he understands that taking flush shots from Golovkin will not end well for him.
No, he has to move around a little bit. That's just a strategy. It might not be entertaining to people that have paid for the fight or brought a bottle to the party to watch the fight, you know. But it's not surprising, but to see it in person. We know a lot of Mexican boxing fans love Triple G. And they're not hiding it at all out here, man. To see it, a lot of Mexican fans with Triple G hats and Triple G merchandise, man.
Yeah.
It's like split down the middle right now in Vegas.
All right. That we're going to make Michael Pearson our Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
Hey.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
right, Michael. Thanks so much for joining us, man. So good to see you, brother.
All right, and wish me luck with my parlay.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck with that.
We're partying tonight.
AJ looked me down, and he just tried to be nice. It was like, yeah, okay.
Well.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. Hey, Houston.
I remember there was a time when AJ was out where Michael filled in and did the show with me. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. All right. Now he's all back to being an L.A. guy. So
L.A. guy.
You know what he can't get in L.A. is he can't sleep on a mattress from Texas Mattress
Makers. I mean, he could if he's got a moving truck.
Yeah, he's gonna have to send one out there to get him one, because there's nothing like a bed from Texas Mattress Makers. There's the great thing about them, the quality is so fantastic. You're already saving 50% over what you would pay if you went to a retail place, because guess what? They make the mattresses right there and sell them directly to you. You're going to get custom fitted, so you're going to sleep on something that's made for you. You're going to save a bunch of money. You're going to do business with some of the best people in the city, by the way, in terms of what they do for charity. As a matter of fact, how about this? If you go in now and spend $500 or more, Texas Mattress Makers will donate a bed for a local child in need through the Houston Children's Charity, a Better Night's Sleep program, now through the month of October. So pick up your guest beds and make it count. If you're in the market for a bed, maybe you got family coming in or something, go and get one, because if you buy one, then they're going to take care of a kid who needs a bed. And there are way too many children in our city that don't have beds to sleep on. And you can get such great beds. The River Oaks are a good luxury bed with a great feel. And they're marked down to $880. Uval, Lax, the gang there, they all know everything about these mattresses. They're going to know how you sleep. They're going to take care of you. Go by and visit them today. You can go by the new store, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy, or the original 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.